Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. Congregation would want me to assure you of their faith, that we believe that these words in the Bible, God's Word, come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and the God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us, and God uses His Word first. So I'm a minister of God's Word, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation. I'm here to open the words of God for you to hear them, and I hope for you to come to understand what the God I serve wants to say to you in your situation. I would want you to know of God's love, to know God's comfort and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true. Even though parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, they still are able to speak to us. I will mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father." We have an affirmation of our faith that we use each week. The one for this week comes from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 18, which I believe you will find somewhat familiar to you, although it may seem kind of long, verses 4 through 18. The familiarity may make it seem brief indeed. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. We might say, but was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. This year, again, we turn our eyes to the angels, the messengers of our God. The ancients did not have an ancient Facebook page, and so they didn't have an ancient Facebook page messenger. And they did not have Twitter, or the platform formerly known as Twitter. They didn't make TikTok videos or use Instagram. They didn't even have newspapers. Please don't ask, what are newspapers? The ancients only had human speech, the use of language. All the kings and emperors used speech. Everyone used speech. so did our Lord God use speech. But as we noticed before, God used speech and other forms to communicate with us. God has used attention-grabbing effects like fire and dreams, visions. But just like the kings of ancient days, just like kings and emperors, our God also used messengers to communicate. Messengers, the angels who are God's messengers. It occurred to me the other day that God's messengers are often referred to in the Bible as an angel of the Lord. Why? Because the ancients also knew that there were other angels. Not all angels are angels of the Lord. So the Bible often is sure to let us know that this angel and this angel's message is from the Lord our God. I think that phrase, an angel of the Lord, is in the Bible 70 to 80 times. Now, I don't want you to start feeling all techno-superior because you have more platforms of communication than the Heavenly Father. God used God's messengers very effectively. God's messengers have been so effective that they're in the Bible and we're still talking about them 21 centuries later. Several social media messages disappear once they're viewed here in the 21st century. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we have talked about the angels who appear four or five times in the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. There are at least four or five angel appearances in the birth reports of Jesus, and you know them well. We've covered them more than once in sermons. You recall these angel appearances, as Pastor David Jeremiah noted in his book, Why the Nativity? Angelic visits to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph in a dream. The shepherds, a heavenly host of angels, and maybe count the wise men. They too had a dream. The word angel does not appear there, but the wise men were given a dream and and in some ancient religions, the stars were angels or spiritual beings. The wise men were guided to Jesus by the stars. Today we look at these messengers who appeared in a massive sky display one night near Bethlehem. You know this report in the Bible. If very many churches use traditional readings at Christmas, Luke's report of that night is the traditional reading for Christmas Eve. It's even in the holiday animated classic, A Charlie Brown Christmas. The character Linus actually recites the King James Version of Luke chapter 2. And I refer to that version now. As Linus recited from Luke 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." This scene would not be strange to any of the ancient peoples reading or hearing this report. Both Jews and Greeks had shepherds. All of the kingdoms had sheep and shepherds. And that the shepherds with the sheep were out under the stars would not have been a strange picture. So these shepherds had seen every form of nighttime light show in the sky that nature had ever produced in that land. But this light show, the glory of the Lord shining around them, this was not natural light shining around the shepherds. This was divine light. And typically, when the divine breaks into our physical world, people get afraid. And that's why one of the most common phrases in the Bible is, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not." And as the King James Version states, those shepherds were sore afraid. Now, I don't know if you remember your reaction when you were a child to those words of the King James Version Bible about those shepherds being sore afraid. I'm pretty certain that as a child, I thought, and not knowing Shakespearean English, and the language of the King James Version Bible is Shakespearean English, I'm certain that as a child, I thought that the shepherds were so afraid that it hurt. The shepherds were sore afraid. After seminary, I knew that a literal translation of the Greek is that the shepherds feared a great fear. And I like that wording. They weren't just afraid. They feared a great fear. Have you ever feared a great fear? And yet, you and I, as we read the Bible, we know the angels represent the God who loves the shepherds. But the shepherds feared a great fear. It makes me wonder if I have ever feared a great fear about anything God has planned. So continuing with the King James Version of Luke, and the angel said unto them, fear not. There it is. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I want to turn our attention not to the angel's words. We'll get back to the angel's words in a few moments. Let's place our attention on the shepherd's words when the shepherds report everything they saw and heard. That brings us to today's Bible verse of the week and the real meat of today's message. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What were those folks hearing? All those people who were amazed. They were hearing the report of the shepherds. They were hearing what the shepherds said concerning what the shepherds had been told about this baby Jesus. But notice what it says. All who heard it were amazed. Why were they amazed? Because of the angels? No. Everyone back then believed in angels. Some of those people had seen angels. Angels are not the amazing part of the shepherd's report. What amazed all those folks, all the folks who heard, and they were all amazed. It says they were all amazed. There were two amazing things in what the shepherd said. Two things everyone found amazing. The words of the angels, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. The Messiah has come. And the Messiah has come to your town. That was amazing to everyone. We know from Matthew's report, it took the Bible scholars at Herod's palace, it took them a serious consultation to discover that it should be Bethlehem where this new king would be born. If it took a consultation of Bible eggheads at the palace to figure it out, do you think everyone else knew? No. So that was amazing news. Messiah, born in our little town? And he was found in a manger. The Lord himself was in a feeding stall? That's amazing. What else is amazing? How come the shepherds know about this birth? The birth of the Messiah. Shouldn't people who are in charge know this? Shouldn't they know? How come the local rabbi didn't tell us all this? Shouldn't at least the town's night watchman have been given the heads up about something God is doing here in our town? Shouldn't the king know about this? Should the high priest know about this? How come this information didn't come through the regular channels? This information has got to be fake news. But why would shepherds make up a story like this? Besides, the shepherds found that baby just as they were told. This is amazing. It was amazing. It isn't the angels that were amazing to people. It's the people the angels talked to. It wasn't the angels that were amazing people. It's the people the angels talked to. That's amazing. And get this, the angels' words to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. The shepherds are going to be saved? That's pretty amazing. Why is God going to save these shepherds? Nobody ever said anything like that. No Pharisee ever said that. No priest ever said that. Those shepherds never go to synagogue. We've never known shepherds to tithe or even go to Jerusalem at Passover, let alone take a spotless lamb as an offering. So let me hear that news again that shepherds claim they heard. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And the angel also said, so the shepherds repeated it, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. All the people? Everyone could be saved? No one ever heard that before. Even the lepers can be saved? Even the poor people can be saved? Even the childless couples can be saved? Even the people who don't read their Bibles can be saved? Even the people who don't attend synagogue, like the shepherds, they can be saved? Well, now that's pretty amazing. Friends, American Christians often treat unbelievers as if they have rejected Jesus. But the truth is, most people haven't rejected Jesus. They've just never accepted him. And there's a big difference. And some have not accepted Jesus probably for no good reasons. I point to our affirmation of faith. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. American Christianity has gotten it backwards since the 1950s, and probably American Christianity has gotten it wrong for longer than that. Be reconciled to God so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The order there is important. Be reconciled to God, then become the righteousness of God. The order of events is important. The order of events is biblical. However, since at least 1950, American Christians have believed that you demonstrate you're the righteousness of God, and then you can be reconciled to God. Nope, wrong. Becoming the righteousness of God comes after the reconciliation, not before. There's an old adage in the church, you be fishers of people. You who are fishers of people, and that's what Jesus said the disciples were going to be, fishers of people. You be fishers of people. You haul the fish into the boat of the church. And the boat was an ancient symbol of the church, because all the disciples and Jesus were in the boat. You haul the fish into the boat of the church. Jesus will clean them. Jesus cleans the fish. But Jesus will only clean the fish that we bring into the boat. Jesus doesn't clean fish that are still in the water. We Jesus followers actually know this because people have already come into the church sanctuary before they're baptized. The baptism of dedication and cleansing. Daleville Christian Church does not make people be baptized before they come to worship here. And yet, so many American Christians have expected people who walk into the church to meet certain standards. Standards of righteousness. And we Americans, we love the dramatic. We love the big drum. We want to see big changes in people. If we even believe in change, we want to see big changes in people. And we want to see big changes sooner than later. But friends, we don't know the big changes. Remember the report of the missionary talking to a woman who'd come to a Bible study, and she shared that her husband had recently become a Christian? And the missionary asked her, "How do you know that your husband has become a Christian?" And the woman answered, "I know that my husband has become a Christian because my husband has stopped beating me." Friends, that's a dramatic change to that woman. It was a dramatic change this wife saw in her husband. But no one else saw that change. Americans want to see a dramatic change before they're welcomed into the church. Americans want to see signs of God's work. Here's a true story from Daleville Christian Church's own past. We started a more contemporary worship service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The music was different. We had a band. We did not pass the offering plate for the offering at that service. The offering plates were placed around the sanctuary, and people put their offering in the plates before worship, after worship, during the worship. Some of the folks who usually worshiped at the traditional 9:30 service were upset, saying, "But you don't pass the offering plate. You don't pass the offering plate." And even though the treasurer assured the people at the traditional service, where they passed the offering plate, that the folks at 11 a.m., the contemporary service, were participating in the giving to congregational ministries, some folks just couldn't get over it. "But you don't pass the offering plate." You see, some folks who didn't attend the contemporary service didn't trust the people at the contemporary service. They didn't trust them to put money in a plate that was not passed. So now, 15 years later, guess what? No one at Daleville Christian Church passes the offering plate. Some people just couldn't accept that change 15 years ago. That difference in the contemporary worship service. And now, that change has changed all of us. No one at Daleville Christian Church passes the offering plate. And Daleville Christian Church has more money than we have ever had. Not passing the plate was too much change for some people, and not the right kind of change. Some folks could not separate giving and passing the plate. If we don't pass the plate, people won't give. And no amount of money given at the 11 o'clock service would prove to them that people gave without passing the plate. Could we say of those doubters that they were sore afraid? I want you to remember that true story and repeat it to yourself anytime you see some changes at Daleville Christian Church in this coming year. especially those you're not sure about, changes you're not sure you agree with. And just repeat to yourself, you know, once long time ago, some folks couldn't accept not passing the offering plate. And you can add to that, and now Daleville Christian Church does not pass the offering plate, and Daleville Christian Church has more money than it's ever had. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong. But I'm sorry, I came from a congregation where some of the people would get upset with the pastor if the Lord's Prayer was moved to somewhere else in the worship service. It wasn't good enough to still pray the Lord's Prayer in the worship service. It needed to remain in the worship service order where those folks always remembered it being. I grew up in that church. Moving the Lord's Prayer is not a big change. But some folks in the church I grew up in couldn't handle it. They were sore afraid, and they stayed that way. They never heard the good news. But often American Christians tell people they're not saved and can't be saved until they become the Lord's righteousness. Again, just the reverse of the angel's message. Just the reverse of the apostles' message. Your Savior is here. The Savior, the Messiah, has come to you. You may not be sure you want your Savior, but Jesus came for you anyway. Friends, this is what I tell people at funerals. Even if you're not sure you want to live with God forever, God still wants to live with you now and forever. Even if you're not sure, God still wants to live with you now and forever. So you might look into this God, who we claim came in Jesus because God wants you to live with him. Our Lord's not waiting for you to straighten up and fly right. Our Lord is simply waiting for you to say, yes, you want to live with God through Jesus. Now and forever. Get that relationship started. A relationship with the living God who demonstrated that God is serious about a relationship with us by being born like us and placed in a feeding stall. Not a golden bassinet. Not at the palace. Not even at the temple. Friends, this is really great news of a great joy. And it's for everybody. Don't be afraid. Be amazed. Luke 2:18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Hear it again. And all those, having heard, marveled concerning the things spoken by the shepherds. Amen.